Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show with your host, Reverend Alethea Smith Withers, pastor of the Pavilion of God in Washington, D.C. Yes, yes, my God is awesome. And I am experiencing the awesomeness of God in so many ways this day. Today is Election Day. During the midterm election year, all 435 seats in the United States House of Representatives and 33 of the 100 seats in the United States Senate are contested. Did you know that? And in addition, there are 38 state and territorial governorships, 46 state legislators, four territorial legislatures, and numerous state and local races. Pundits are saying that this election lacks a dominant national theme. I want you to think about that. But from where I sit, it has a moral call. As a Christian minister of the gospel, beloved, I'm holding on to, and many clergy who are members of the African American Ministers Leadership Council are responding to a divine call to action. And we're lifting the lessons found throughout the Word of God. And in particular, many of us are focusing on 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 9, and verse 13, which says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. I believed, and therefore I spoke." Amen. Based on the Word of God, beloved, we assert that we are vessels. Vessels, I want you to be clear, vessels are people of faith, clergy, pastors, ministry, and community leaders, men and women and young adults, firmly committed to increasing civic participation in communities that lack, that traditionally have been disenfranchised or discriminated against. Vessels provide a nonpartisan way to engage in the political process that resonates with the identity of faith communities. Vessels stand firmly against apathy, disengagement, and voter suppression tactics. Vessels, divine vessels that we are, create opportunities to conduct nonpartisan voter registration, voter information, and voter education to maximize the participation of informed voting age African Americans in the electoral process in every special local, state, and national election. Beloved, I hope you voted, that you acknowledge the power of being a vessel. If you didn't, make your vow to the Lord today to vote in the next election. If you voted, vow again to vote in the next election. I want to remind you, pray with me, that voting is a priority in all communities, but in particular the African American community. I want to thank Lori Weinstein for being on my show last week. to help us think about and talk about domestic violence. And many people had opportunities to vote in some way that would support the end to domestic violence and respond to gun control in various parts of the country. So these are things that we want to talk about and think about and pray about. My guest tonight is Ms. Jackie Gales Webb, the award-winning host of the number one Sunday afternoon gospel music program on 96.3 WHUR. And I'm excited, and I hope you're excited. We're going to hear from her in a little while. If you're a first-time listener, a special welcome to you. I invite you to tune in on a regular basis. Also, you can always listen on demand and easily turn your work time, computer time, or leisure time into an opportunity to rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. The Tuesday night show with Up with Reverend Alethea is a Keeping It Real show about life. If you've been listening to me, you know that I minister to the people of God through all phases of their experience, even up to the higher life of meaning, faith, and love. We talk about everything from pop culture to politics. I want to invite you, if you're on the Blog Talk Radio site, blogtalkradio.com/Rev Alethea, please click on follow so that you can follow this show and not miss any special broadcasts, especially occasional Sunday sermons. If you're in the Washington metropolitan area visiting, or if you live here, I invite you to worship with the Pavilion of God on Sundays at 6401 Chilham Place Northwest, Washington, D.C. Our service begins at 12:30 p.m. So if you sleep in a little bit, you can come and have full worship and praise God with the Pavilion of God. On Wednesday, tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. and 12 noon on Wednesdays, you can join us for prayer on our prayer line. I want to give you this number, but it's also always posted on Facebook. You can find the phone number for the prayer line on this Blog Talk Radio site. The phone number is 605-475-4333. And the access code is 213-781. 213-781. We have a joyful prayer time on our prayer line on Wednesdays mornings at 6 a.m. and 12 noon. And we will pray with you and pray for you. You can always email me your private prayer request. I get a number of those, and I want you to know we take your prayer requests seriously. We pray for them on our prayer line. We include your prayer concerns in our prayers at church, and I keep them on my heart as a part of my own personal prayer ministry. On Thursday evening, if you're in the Washington metropolitan area, please consider joining us for Bible study. Our topic is how to hear the voice of God in your daily life. Isn't that a question that so many of us have? How can I hear God's voice? Or how do I know I'm hearing God's voice? And we're studying the Word of God to guide and direct us and help us understand how to discern the voice of God. I want you to remember that the Pavilion of God is a safe place, and it is also sacred space. Tweet me at Rev Alethea. I'm on Twitter, and I have over 1,000 followers. Join me, be a follower of me, and I'll be happy to follow back. Follow me on Instagram. Don't have 1,000 followers, but I'm growing in followers. Follow me on Instagram. I'll follow you. Email me at Rev Alethea, revaletheatgmail.com. And you can like the Pavilion of God on Facebook. We do so much on Facebook, and I thank God because it has become a powerful part of our ministry. We have prayers on our Pavilion of God Facebook page and scripture posted there, and we are praying for your prayer requests through our Facebook, and special messages and parts of sermons go out there too, are posted there. So let that lift you during the week. Check out Pavilion of God on Facebook. Before we get into tonight's topic and start talking with our guests, I want to begin at the beginning. Won't you join me as I embrace our Alpha and Omega sacred connection to the divine? Open your heart, open your mind as I pray. Oh God, you are the Aha Creator, the Hallelujah Overcoming God, who walked with our forefathers and our foremothers, who enabled them to make a way out of no way. Oh Lord, you have walked with us up the rough side of the mountain, held us near in the valley of despair, and then you have given us strength to lift our hands in praise. Hallelujah. We praise you and we thank you tonight for bringing us thus far along the way. We hold hope in our hearts for the prayers that we lift before you tonight. The prayers called in or emailed in. The prayers within the hearts of listeners. Some are praying for healing, health, and wholeness. Some are praying for shelter from the cold. Others are praying for employment, peace in their home. And some are simply praying that their dreams, hallelujah, that their dreams come true. Yes, you, oh Lord, are our provision, the provider of dreams and hopes for today and for tomorrow. Lord, you are our all in all, our wheel in the center of the wheel, the Alpha and the Omega, and we thank you and we give you all the praise tonight. Hallelujah, Lord. We're giving you all the praise from the depths of our souls. Praise and thanksgiving. Now, Lord, be with us as we rev up, accelerate, and energize our lives tonight. Enable us to embrace knowledge, joy, and even laughter tonight, oh Lord. This is my prayer, and I faithfully and humbly ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, and amen. If you are a first-time listener, I want to welcome you to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show. I want to encourage you to call in on 347-945-7723. Let me repeat that number. Call in on 347-945-7723. Or write your comments or questions on our blog site, and I will be happy to share them with our guests tonight. Or you can even post it, and I will check and share your comments or questions with our guests. Our guest this evening and starting off November on the good foot with us is the beautiful and talented and the inimitable, incomparable lady of charm, grace, and spiritual power, Miss Jackie Gales Webb. She is the award-winning host of the number one Sunday afternoon gospel music program on WHR 96.3 on your dial. Good evening, Miss Jackie Gales Webb, and welcome to the Rev Up with Reverend Alethea Blog Talk Radio Show.
Reverend Alethea Smith Rivers, you are beautiful, and I thank you for having me this evening. What a wonderful prayer. I've been enlightened and inspired, and I want to thank God for you.
Oh, amen. You know, I'm sitting here, and I want the audience to know, I am a, God, this, I wish you could see me right now. I would be a little bit embarrassed like a little girl. I have a smile on my face from ear to ear. I can't believe, so I have to confess, I'm one of your groupies, a real fan. And I was like, I'm talking to Jackie Gillespie. How cool is that?
So this is God's day. Like everyone else who loves the Lord and wants to serve Him. That's all.
I know, but there are those that we that touch us and excite us and open our hearts in special ways. And you have the gift.
Well, it's God in action. You know, every time I go on the air or on the stage, I ask God, you know, may the words of my mouth and the meditation in my heart be acceptable in His sight, and that I be a vessel to let Him bless His people. So it's
Amen.
Not me.
Yeah.
God in action.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, being a vessel. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for talking about voting. I was so blessed this morning to be able to go to the polls with my daughter.
Yes.
And cast my vote and exercise my right. And I have my I voted sticker on, and I'm very proud of it and thankful.
Amen.
For the ability.
And I remind everyone to do what you did. Not only if you're a parent. What a great opportunity it is to take your child or children with you to the polls. They never forget that, and they're obligated in a different way to vote. My mother did that with me. I did that with my son. And it is a powerful way to say, you know, to lead by example and to remember there's a theme in our community that says we are indeed vessels and we have to vote.
And when I think about the fact that people actually died for my right to vote, for me to be able to go to the polls, you know, it brings tears to my eyes, and it makes me, when I get in front of that booth, there's a certain power that I feel and a certain sense of gratitude for being able to do such a thing. And
Amen.
How important it is to our country for all of us to participate, because that's what democracy is all about.
Yes, absolutely. It is all about that. You know, As I said, I'm excited about being on the show this evening, and I'm reminded as I'm talking with you now, knowing that my voice in this limited way, but a very special way, is going out to many people beyond where I sit. You are in this place of your work through radio, the medium of radio and television as well. And you meet thousands of people every week on your Sunday afternoon show. But the truth is, so many of us, you know, we don't always know about the person who's serving in the way that you do, about how complex their life is and the many components in their work life. It was great as I just kind of read some information about you. I knew, of course, that you host Sunday afternoon gospel at 96.3 WHUR, and you've been doing that since 1990, which is amazing to me. But there's more. You work with public radio networks, station managers, producers, and consultants to support and improve the nation's public radio system as a radio project manager for the Corporation of Public Broadcasting. That was amazing to me. In addition, and I probably haven't found out all the things you do, but you also have produced gospel music CD compilations for Time Life. And you are prominently featured in the critically acclaimed 2011 gospel music documentary film, Rejoice and Shout. And Ms. Jackie Gillespie, I haven't seen that, but it won't be long before I have a chance to see that, because I want to see that. In addition,
you're going to love it.
It's wonderful. It's amazing. You were nominated for 14 regional Emmy Award nominations and won six local Emmys and produced the 13 part. So everyone who's listening now, you're going to have to talk about that, Jackie, so we'll know how to take advantage in seeing these. Produce a 13-part radio series. Listen to this. Black Radio, Telling It Like It Was. You know, I can't wait to listen to that. It excites me so much. And for those who, again, the title of this is Black Radio, Telling It Like It Was, and it was hosted by Lou Rawls. Wow, and because of that, the University of Georgia won the Peabody Award. I am so, and I know I listed only a few things. That is such a broad, complex work life. I don't know how you do it all, but tell us a little bit about those components or anything else you want to add to that, about what Jackie Gales Webb really does in addition to 96.3 Gospel Radio on Sundays.
Thank you, Reverend Alicia. I've always been mission-driven, and God has placed me in several places to be able to carry out some very meaningful things. I worked. Let me start. When I first came to Washington, D.C., I actually worked for a young lady who at that time was Kathy Liggins, and now she's Kathy Hughes. She was general manager of a little radio station, AM radio station in Washington, D.C., WYCB at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of the first on-air personalities on WYCB that started out as a message music station. Kathy believed that there was, at the time, too much negative talk in R&B music, and she wanted a station where all of the music had a positive message. And we were playing songs like Ain't No Stopping Us Now and
mm-hmm.
you know, just really positive music. And we also started mixing in a little bit of gospel music. And eventually, the gospel just took over, and WYCB.
Oh, wow, amazing.
The first 24-hour gospel music station in Washington, D.C. And I was there for 6 years. I went from being on air to being music director to being program director. And after the sixth year, the Lord told me to broaden my horizons and do what I went to college to do. I had gone to Emerson College in Boston, Massachusetts, and not only participated on the radio station, but I also studied television production. And so I left WYCB to go work at Channel 9 Television in production, and that worked out very well. That's where I started winning those Emmys in a program. It was a local talk program back in the days when we had the Phil Donahue Show and Panorama and all the morning talk shows. There was a show hosted by a very beautiful, intelligent woman named Carol Randolph, and it was called
Yes,
Money.
I remember her.
And I was one of the producers. So
Morning
Break for a few years, and then I went to produce Maureen Burns' public affairs show, and I produced a show for J.C. Hayward there at Channel 9. And then I was really blessed by meeting and marrying a very talented man named Cliff Webb, and he eventually became a news anchor at News Channel 8.
I absolutely remember. Wow, that's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And while I was at Channel 9 and got married, of course, after marriage comes the baby carriage. And so I decided to slow down a bit, and I went to work for the Smithsonian in producing radio and video components for their exhibitions. And while there, I had two beautiful children,
mm-hmm.
and that's where I began working on the Black Radio series. At the time, the world was celebrating the, was it the 75th? It was a big anniversary for radio. And they were mentioning all of the big radio stars of the past, but they didn't mention any of my heroes who were African-American. I grew up in New York, and we had tremendous African-American heroes on the AM radio. And
yeah, tell everybody where New York is. I'm from New York, Jackie, so I'm going to just...
Mm-hmm.
I'm so
WOL and WLIB and Frankie Crocker,
yes.
And nobody was talking about that. And
uh-huh.
So I also learned that it was the same all across the country in the major urban cities. There were African-American heroes on the radio in Washington, D.C., in Chicago, Detroit, in Los Angeles. They were just all over. And with the help of radio legend Bobby Bennett, and Bill Barlow from Howard University, and Sonia Williams from Howard University, and Lex Gillespie, a very talented producer, and Dr. Portia Maltzby from Indiana University, we were able to pull together a really good documentation of the highlights, the benchmarks of Black radio and how it corresponded with the African-American history, such as the Civil Rights Movement.
Now, how can we hear that? Because I know it's a 13-part radio series. How can someone listen to that?
Well, right now it's housed at Indiana University. And
okay.
You can, and I do know that they were working on having everything digitized so that people would be able to access this type of material online. It's not in place yet, but hopefully very soon. And
okay.
it was quite a learning experience, and it is referenced today by many historians. So I'm very thankful that God enabled that to happen. While I was at the Smithsonian, I also did a series called Remembering Slavery. We took the recordings that the WPA did back in the 1940s, they were able to record interviews with former slaves. And for the interviews that they didn't record, they had written transcripts. So we took those written transcripts and had famous actors such as James Earl Jones and Melba Moore and Esther Rolls, so many fine actors to portray those interviews that were done, and combined them with the actual recordings of African-American slaves to make this radio series called Remembering Slavery. And that was
really powerful,
too. Yeah. So,
oh, my goodness. How long
I was there for about 6 years, and then WHUR here in Washington, D.C., growing on the success of its very popular Sunday morning show with Patrick Ellis, decided that it wanted to expand the gospel on Sunday because it was doing so well. Patrick's always
mm-hmm.
been on from 6 a.m. until 11 a.m., and they actually gave me a call. They remembered my program from WYCB and gave me a call and asked if I wanted to expand the gospel there at WHUR. That was in 1990. Of course, I said yes. And then I've been there ever since.
Oh, my goodness. Now, you've done some television as well, or no? Have you done some television?
Yes, I hosted a program called The Glory of Gospel for News Channel 8. And while
mm-hmm.
I was at Channel 9 television, I did some reporting for features that were put into the public affairs programs that I worked on. So, yes, I have
mm-hmm.
done television work. Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you say to, in fact, I ran into a young woman who is was a communication major at Howard University, and she's at the point as an alum now, of trying to find her way in this world of broadcasting. You know, so many of us don't know what to do. I mean, we have this vision for ourselves, and some even have a particular goals set out for themselves, but then they flounder after college. You were fortunate not only to do well after college, you started real serious work while you were in college.
Right.
So
right.
What do you say to the young person who's leaving today? And most of our millennials are very ambitious and have a very good work ethic. Any advice for those who are pursuing, you know, broadcasting, other kinds of communication work? What have you learned that kind of helps you, helps a person find their path?
Well, I think what I would say to young people today is to perfect your craft in storytelling. Perfect your craft in getting your message across, whether it be a spiritual message, whether it be comedy, whether it's news reporting. Focus in on that, because the technology is changing every second. Millennials aren't listening to the radio like we did. They're not watching television like we did. Everything is online, broadband. Technology changes, but what does not change is the telling of a good story. Of a good message. You really need to hone in on is how your expression. That's the point. Focus in on developing and crafting your art of expression. Don't worry about what the platform is. Don't worry about if it's online or if it's broadcast on air, because people will listen to you or watch you if they are intrigued and inspired by your presence and what you have to say. So that's where your focus could be, because you don't, you know, who knows what the, what it's going to be 5 years from now, what people are going to be watching or listening to.
Right. You are so, I mean, I thank you for the advice. I'm going to say that's a good advice to me, and I'm hoping those who are listening, the millennials in particular, hear that as good advice. I just heard someone say last week that there's nothing more antisocial than social media. And he said, because when you're doing social media or using social media tools, you're doing it alone. You know, you're texting by yourself. You're posting on Facebook by yourself. And sometimes we lose that ability to tell a story, which we learn with personal interaction. And I think that is such wonderful advice. Oh, my goodness. With all that you've done, what do you love most about the work you do?
Well, the work at WHUR is a blessing for me because, as I said, I'm able to really open up and do my best to not get in the way of what God wants to do. It's a blessing because I'm one of the few people in the country air playing music that actually can choose the music that I'm playing. Most of the people that you hear on the radio, everything's in the computer. It's already chosen for them. But because WHUR is allowing me to do this, I have more flexibility to go with the flow of the spirit, and I think that's really important for gospel music.
Well, you know, you stuck a chord with me with saying that, because I like to go with the flow in my dialogue with my guests. You know, I certainly try to do my homework, but I want to go with the flow. And I hear that in each Sunday broadcast with you. If you're not going with the flow of spirit, something else is happening, because it is remarkable show. The music you choose, when you play, whatever song you play. I have 1,000 questions, but I have a feeling that some of my callers want to get in on the discussion. And if I don't get all my questions in, Jackie, we're going to have a sit-down talk at some other point, because I just find this such an exciting conversation. But I want to go to the call right now for just 1 second and hear someone else. Good evening, caller. I'm calling in from 701 Exchange. Go ahead.
Good evening. How are you? How are you this evening? I have to say, I never, ever regret tuning in to your Black Talk program, Reverend Alicia.
Thank you.
I am so happy that I listened in to your program. Well, you know I'm a regular and loyal listener.
Yes, and we love loyal and regular listeners. And Jackie Gales Webb would be the first to say amen to that.
Well, I am a regular and loyal listener to Jackie Gales Webb.
I'm
intrigued by how broad her experience has been. She is incredible. I am so very impressed and intrigued by it. And I have to say that I thank God for blessing her to maintain one of the longest lasting local radio programs on WHUR. And it has done nothing but gotten better and better. And I think that is because God is blessing her for what she's doing on that radio station. Mm-hmm. And I also want to thank you both, my sisters, for talking about voting, because I have called and reminded those people I knew today was a day, if they hadn't done early voting, they needed to get out there and vote, because as you both mentioned, voting is a right and a privilege that African Americans in particular fought and died for. And what is happening in the 21st century is that there have been a series of election-related laws that have been passed in several jurisdictions.
Amen.
That has caused some voter nullification.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the requirements that they have put in. Back in the Jim Crow days, you had to own property, or you had to be able to read and write, and you had to be able to do all these things. But in the 21st century, they've found new ways to circumvent the election laws. I want to thank and bless both of you wonderful women for the work you do, and for doing God's work. It's clear that you all are following God's path in your lives. And thank you so much. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you so much.
That was beautiful.
Isn't that something? Boy, I tell you, there is nothing like the loyal listener who is so passionately engaged in whatever programming we're presenting. So you have a strong supporter there, and so do I, Jackie, this evening.
Oh, she was just beautiful. I really want to thank you, caller. Thank you so much for your encouragement. That meant a lot.
Amen. And it is encouragement. And it is, because what you do on Sunday morning and what you do, and I appreciate the callers all commenting on the fact of, and you hear how excited she was about all of these other things she is hearing and discovering tonight about the work that you do, that it is so broad, it is so vast. And I'm sure you know more than we do how rare it is to have someone who's a host really have such technical knowledge about production and so many other areas are related to communication and this the medium that you know and understand.
Well, you know, what? Reverend Alicia, I was talking to someone today about this, do you ever hear the song by the Wilmington Chester Mass Choir, Reverend Darryl Coley sings solo, and it's, God is preparing me for something that I may not be able to handle right now?
Hallelujah.
I'm feeling kind of restless, like there's something else I'm supposed to be doing, but I may not be ready for it right now, but I feel like I'm being prepared for it. I'm not quite sure what it is, but that God wants me to do to, for his people. And
when you said that, I got
waiting.
Chills.
It's hard to be patient, but I'm patiently
yes.
waiting. And
yes.
I think God has brought me through many things and has kept me while I, raised my two daughters. For those who don't know, my husband died in 2002 from cancer. We just celebrated his birthday yesterday, my daughter and I. And, many blessings have occurred that allowed me to raise these two beautiful young ladies and see them graduate from college. The youngest will graduate in May. And, after that, I'm just getting the feeling I'm supposed to be doing something else. So,
amen.
I will tell.
Well, congratulations. I want to stop and say congratulations to you for moving forward in your life in such a powerful way after the transition of your husband. That is a challenge. You know more about the challenge than many of us know. But to be able to be thankful for his life, to celebrate his life with your children, what a blessing that is, and to have that sense of urgency and calling forward into your life right now. So many of us think that after children, especially if we've been very seriously focused on raising our children, that it's over. It isn't over. God is still calling you. And you're hearing the call, and you will discern. And I'm going to let you know something right now. I am going to make sure I keep praying for you as you discern what God is calling you forward into.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I will continue to count me a prayer partner with you.
Okay. Thank you, Reverend.
Amen. Yes. Yeah, because it is that powerful call of God that to move forward.
Yes.
I'm hearing such passion in your professionalism. I don't know how you even separate professionalism from passion or passion for professionalism. I think sometimes people are very passionate but not professional and vice versa. But you are this professional who has great passion, and I think that is part of what excites all of your listeners or all those who engage you in various aspects of your work. I'm going to ask, help us out now. What are some of your favorite gospel artists? I mean, can you give us three and why they're among your favorites?
Donna Lawrence, because the music and the message that he has in the music. I'm a very positive person in his music. He takes the positive aspects of what God has told us and has turned them into some very powerful songs. The gift looks good on you. The blessing is on you. Seasons in your life, and you'll make it. And, I like that because it encourages me. I love, of course, who could be from D.C. and not like Richard Smallwood, okay?
Amen, amen.
The man writes anthems and hymns, and also is very versatile in what he does, classically trained, and has consistently written beautiful, beautiful music. So, of course, I like Donald Lawrence, Donnie McKirkin, beautiful voice. Fred Hammond, excellent songwriter. His songs really come everyone's heart because he writes from a every man stance. You know, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I will trust in the Lord. And I love Kirk Franklin because of the personality that God has given this man. I mean, he is something else. I mean, I recently hosted the Howard University Homecoming Gospel Concert. He was signed on to just be a host. He gave those students the encouragement and much more than they ever expected, just out of the generosity of his heart.
Amen.
And he's, you know, his music, he's another people person where his music is horizontal and vertical, meaning he's horizontal in the fact that he's talking to you as a person, but also he writes this vertical praise music up to God. And the new addition to my list is Ty Tribbett, because of the energy and the creativity in his music. His music and the messages that he gives and the way he gives them is so theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word, theatrical and interesting, mm-hmm. and full of power, that I really like his music. Now, you know, I could sit here and go on for days about who
I'm
I like.
I'm hearing you. Oh, my goodness.
You know, James Cleveland, his music sounds like, you know, it was recorded yesterday.
That is so true.
Way ahead of his time. You know, Andre Crouch, his music was way ahead of its time. And of course the Hawkins family, Walter, Edmund, Lane, you know, we have been blessed with so many great gospel artists, and they just keep coming.
Now we're in this new phase of
gospel music. We're in this new phase called praise and worship. So you have
that's what I was going to ask you.
William
so
Dowell.
What's your feeling about praise and,
Tasha,
and worship music?
Break Every Chain. Tasha Cobbs, that's her name. And so you got the praise and worship folks. Then you have the quartets. Now, I like quartets. The Canton Spiritual.
Yes.
Lee Williams and the QC. Oh, my goodness. So that's the thing about gospel music for me, is that it's not really the type of music for me. You know, yes, there's a gospel sound, but gospel for me is really the message. What are you trying to get across? If that's what makes it a gospel song. But you could have gospel music in the classical form of Richard Smallwood, the down-home quartet style of the Canton Spiritual, praise and worship style of William McDowell or Israel Horton. Or you could have the dramatic style of Ty Tribbett. You know, I mean, it's all about the message.
Amen.
That's what makes gospel music.
Now, I have a question then. How did you just become so able to have as much knowledge about gospel music and all of its expression when that's not where you started? You didn't start off with gospel music.
No.
So how did you gain all the knowledge you had? And how did you make this transition from the radio stations that you were with before you got to WHUR and the music that you were working with, like in New York, it wasn't gospel music.
Well,
so
no,
how did you make that transition?
I didn't work in New York. I worked in college in Boston, Massachusetts, and then I came
in Boston, Massachusetts.
Washington.
So, but you loved the programming.
In Boston, Massachusetts, I was playing the R&B and the smooth jazz of the day. And when I started working at the commercial radio station in Boston, WILD, I started playing gospel. And the more
okay.
I played gospel, the more I got into it. And because I came and worked for a 24-hour gospel music station here in Washington, D.C., the whole gospel music industry evolved as I was growing. So I was there when Richard Smallwood was first played on the radio. I was there when Andre Crouch first came to Washington, D.C. with Andre Crouch and the Disciples. I was there when Walter Hawkins and Tremaine first recorded Going Up Yonder. So it just became a part of me.
Yeah, so you have the story that you would encourage the millennials to have. You know how to tell the story. You've watched the elements of your life and the fabric being weaved by the divine in your life. And now you are a co-weaver with God in this incredible tapestry that is your life. I find that so powerful and such a reminder to us to be open to what God is doing. It has to be one of the great, as you look back on your life and kind of that Sankofa perspective, you have to get a little excited too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was very interesting when the Convention of Choirs and Choruses, the organization that Thomas Dorsey, the father of gospel music, established, they gave me a Lifetime Achievement Award, and I was so impressed and honored. But I also thought, well, my life isn't over.
That's
it's
right.
It's great, but I'm still going here. So it gave me more, inspired me to try and do as much more as I could possibly do to advance. So as I said, I don't know exactly what I'm leading up to. And I think it's important to have goals, but I think it's also important to, if you have a goal, be open to the different paths that you may have to take in order to get there.
Amen. How would you describe your faith?
God is everything. God is everything and everywhere and in everyone. So everyone is my brother or sister. Everyone is a part of me because we are all a part of God. So when I see you, I'm looking for the God in you. And if I'm able to emanate or radiate, that's the better word, radiate the true God spirit in me like Jesus did, then I'm one step closer to being with Jesus in his everlasting love for all humanity. And it is my job to try and serve humanity like Jesus did. And it is my job to talk as Jesus did in faith positively terms for all of my brothers and sisters. It is my job to make sure that whatever I do is of support for the mission of God and in God's will. My faith I practice as a science, and I try my best to and do more than practice it, to live it. Because practice, living is something that is a part of you. So, and I'm not through. I need, there's much more I need to learn. There's much more I need to learn from the Word. There's not much more I need to learn from my fellow man. And there's a whole lot more praying I need to do. And I need to get more closer to God. I think everybody is striving for that. And in our journey to get closer to God, if we can find companions like yourself, Reverend Alethea, that will pray for us, that will support us in these journeys, then we are truly blessed. So I'm thankful for my faith. Sometimes I think about, you know, I was deeply touched and disturbed when I learned about the recent Robin Williams taking his life. And I, you know, here's the funniest man in the world.
Yes.
He's talented, taking his life. And I think if he had just held out one more day, now I could be wrong, but if he had just held out one more day, it might not have been as bad as he thought that, you know, he would take his life. And so I thank God for faith, because my faith always allows me to see that there will be a brighter tomorrow, you know?
You're leaving me speechless. I have a reputation of never being speechless, Jackie. And I just want to say amen and hallelujah. And I don't want to just invite you back to this radio program, but I will invite you back to this radio program. I want to also invite you to my church. We're going to have to make room for you to bring a message on a Sunday morning.
I heard you say the church starts at 12:30. I'm on the air.
Well, I go to your church. You would be able to go to your church and to my church.
You know, when you have an evening service or something.
Yes, indeed, because you have messages that are communicate. What a blessing it is, not only to have the facility to communicate your message from God through the music you play, but you also have this facility to share. I am just sitting here listening to you, speechless, thankful, praising God. I was praising God. You know, if you saw my face, you said, "Oh, what's going on with that lady?" Everybody would know I'm filled with the Spirit because you have just touched my heart. And I had to try to not keep saying amen, amen too loud because I wanted the listeners to hear you, to thank God for you. Thank God for this moment of a powerful teaching, powerful personal testimony. And there is no lesson really worth its salt if the teacher can't praise God and if those who are listening can't praise God. I assure you, we're praising God tonight.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I so thank you for this moment. I'm going to invite you to listen to Rev Up with Reverend Alethea and know that we count you as a friend of this program. Thank you, Jackie, so much.
Thank you so much, Reverend Alethea, and thank you to everyone who's listening. God bless you.
Amen. And listeners, we will have, I will certainly be inviting Ms. Jackie Gales Webb to come back, and what a joy it is to have her with us this evening. I met Jackie Gales Webb the way most of her listeners do, by turning the dial to 96.3 WHUR, or on occasion hearing her on other stations. I'm a lover of gospel music, and every Sunday as I'm going home after church, I listen to Jackie Gales Webb and her dynamic selection of gospel music, and I'm thankful for her presence on the radio. And if you're listening tonight, I know you have to be thankful for her presence on the radio, her presence on Blog Talk Radio this evening. In September, I saw her across a very crowded room. I was one of the hundreds of faces at a gala celebrating 19th Street Baptist Church's 175th anniversary. And Jackie Gales Webb was the mistress of ceremony, 175 years. As you might imagine, that evening was a glorious celebration of faith, a celebration of church history, and in particular, African-American church history in the District of Columbia. In the midst of the jubilation and celebration, I could discern that Jackie Gales Webb was sincere. She was as sincere as the day is long with respect to her role and responsibility that evening. She was the mistress of ceremony. She was responsible for keeping the program running smoothly, and you know it, she did. However, she offered so much more. Jackie Gales Webb fully understood and honored the power and importance of that occasion. She was celebrating with 19th Street Baptist Church. The congregation mattered to her. Church mattered to her. The Lord mattered to her. She is a woman who is at home in the church, her church, and any other church where there are, where the people of God are striving to honor God. You heard her tonight. She declared it. She's one of the people of God on a mission. I don't know Jackie Gales Webb personally, but I know and thousands of others agree with me that she is talented, knowledgeable, gifted, and worthy of acclaim. More importantly, I believe Jackie Gales Webb is a friend of God. And beloved, any friend of God is a friend of mine. Until next week, beloved, rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Rev up, accelerate, and energize your life. Say